77. Be able to get all through all these chapters. I don't know. We'll see. Jonah. Now, you guys, you're pretty good on the chronological stuff, aren't you, Brother Joey? You know? Yeah, you better than me. I hate history. I'm back in school, I did not like history. I didn't, you know, anyway. But anyway, Jonah's listed as what, the fifth of the minor prophets here, but he's not fifth in chronological order, right? He's actually, I think, probably one of the first prophets, if I remember right, and looking it up, he's one of the oldest of Israel. Anyway, but that's just another thought. His name means dove. Okay, so let's turn to Jonah. He was, I think, a century before Nahum, maybe, or some, from what I looked up. But anyway, it starts like this. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And of course, Nineveh was, if you look that up, it was built by Nimrod. I think it was in Assyria. And it was actually the capital during Jonah's time of Assyria. And I think, remember Sennacherib, I think if I'm pronouncing his name right, his palace was there. So anyway, it was a great city and happened to be the capital of Asia. Or Assyria, I'm sorry. But anyway, he tells Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And, you know, just a little sarcasm here. Jonah replied, I'm just being facetious here, okay, for a minute. Jonah says, well, by golly, Lord, I'm just fixing to go on vacation, take a cruise. So the Lord says, well, Jonah, in that case, I guess I'll just have to find someone else. You know, I'm being a little sarcastic to prove a point. You know, that's almost the way some people view the God of the Bible. Well, Jonah, if you don't want to do it, I guess I'll just have to find someone else. But anyway, but Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. See, he had told you he was going on a cruise. Anyway, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he didn't want to go, did he? The Lord told him to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. Now, he had a reason for not going, I think, as we'll see. But the Lord sent out, look at verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So when Jonah decided to go that way, and which, by the way, was the opposite way of Nineveh, right? Lord told him to go one direction, he's going the opposite way, right? And so anyway, this storm comes up, but it's just not out of coincidence. The Lord brought this storm up, right? The Lord brought it up. It says here he sent it out, a great wind into the sea. And it was such a great wind, look, that the ship was like to be broken. In other words, this wind was so great that this ship's not going to survive, is it? It's not, you know, and these mariners, look at verse 5, then the mariners were afraid. Now, mariners, you would think they're pretty good at seafaring stuff, you know, and I imagine they've seen some storms before, but they were afraid of this thing. This was something like they'd never seen, probably. And so the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. So, notice, every man unto his God, which kind of indicates that they were men from different countries and they had different gods, you know, something like that. Anyway, so they cried to everyone to their God. Obviously, it didn't help them because they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. So they cried unto their gods first, and evidently nothing's happening, right? So they're emptying the ship. And so, you know, I imagine they had a lot of good goods on there that they were going to bring or something. So they're losing some valuable stuff here. They're throwing it overboard. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Sacked out, right? In the midst of this. Anyway, so the shipmaster, that would be the guy in charge, I would think, came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, old sleeper?" You know, like, what are you doing down here sleeping? Don't you know what's going on? He says, "Arise, call upon thy God." I mean, we've been called on our gods. Hey, you're down here sleeping. Get up. Don't you know what's going on? Call on your God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So he's going down to Jonah and said, look, get up, man. What's going on? You know, the pagan, you know, their gods have done nothing. Call on your God. Oh, sleeper, arise. You know, kind of like, what are you doing down here sleeping? Kind of what I got out of that. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I would think that's the providence of God here. I don't know what lots they... I don't think this is a boat. You know, I think sometimes you see casting lots, it may have to do with boats. But remember over there in Proverbs, the lot is cast in the lap for the whole disposing thereof of the Lord. I think that's what they did here. And so they're casting lots to see which one of these guys it falls on, because they're thinking, you know, the one that it falls on, that's the one that's, you know, got the problem here. And so it fell on Jonah. So I think the Lord directed that, didn't he? Because Jonah is the problem, isn't it? He really is. Okay. Then said they unto him, unto Jonah, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. Or in other words, what is it? What's going on here? What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? In other words, it fell on Jonah. Well, who are you? Where you come from? You know, where you know, what people are you from? Well, look what he says in verse 9. And he said unto them, I'm an Hebrew. He said, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. In other words, what he's telling them, I'm a Hebrew, I worship the God that created the heaven and earth. He's the one, in other words, when he says I fear him, he's the one I worship. The God that created the heavens and the earth, the Hebrew God, the one that, you know, took Israel out of Egypt, that God, worked all those miracles, that God, the Hebrew God. Okay, then it says in verse 10, then, the Hebrew God, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I don't think he told them when he entered the ship, but evidently somewhere in here he told them that he had fled from the Lord, and now he's the Hebrew Lord that he's fleeing from. And so they're kind of, it seems to me, they're afraid of that. It says here, they're exceedingly afraid. Okay. And so he had told them that. Anyway, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. I'm the cause of it, because I'm fleeing from, I fled from the Lord. I've disobeyed the Lord, and he's got me cornered. You know, he's after me. That's kind of what he's getting at here. Okay. He has a sense of his sin. He says, I know that for my sake. It's not that they were sinless people, but this is coming upon this ship because of me. Because of me. Okay. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. So they didn't want to throw him overboard, it appears. And, you know, I read some of Gill's comments on this. He said probably they had compassion on him. The poor fellow says it's for he's confessing his sins. He probably repented of his sins, you know, and all that. And maybe they have some compassion on him. And gosh, his God's the one that's causing this. And so they didn't want to just throw him overboard, evidently. But anyway, but hey, they couldn't overcome it, could they? It was against them. Well, it was against them because the Lord was against them bringing it to shore. Not against them personally, I don't think, in that sense, but he's against them getting it to shore and ending the thing, because he's got other plans, doesn't he? Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. Now here, they didn't cry unto their pagan gods, did they? It says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord. What Lord? Jonah's Lord. Jonah's God, they cried. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Now, you know, that statement right there is more than most people know. Notice that. These guys, all of a sudden, they're recognizing Jonah's God as the Lord, and that he's done as he pleased. I don't know. Seems like to me they know something they didn't know before. Okay, and let's look what they said. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now, so they took Jonah, they cast him in the sea. And I remember a fellow said, well, I guess the Lord's got to find somebody else now for sure. No, he didn't. Huh? He didn't. Jonah's gone. I guess God's got to find somebody else. No, Jonah's not gone. But notice, as soon as they did that, the sea ceased from her raging. As soon as they threw him overboard, the sea ceased from there. Then the men, notice that, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. So what are they fearing? Punishment? Destruction? No, that's because the tempest has ended. Everything's calm now. So what are they fearing? They're fearing Jonah's God. Look, Jonah's God, Jonah said, you throw me overboard, it'll stop. They threw him overboard, it stopped. Jonah's God is God. He's in control of the sea. The sea obeys Jonah's God. That's something that they realize that. They do realize. And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. And made vows to Jonah's God. Gil even said they probably went to Jerusalem after they got. He thought maybe. I don't know. He thinks they were converted. I sure seems like it. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. That's amazing. Acquired a great fish. Before I already said all that. Okay, I had some other thoughts down here. But you know, it says here they feared the Lord exceedingly. And as I've already said, it wasn't that they were fearing the waves because the waves have stopped. They're fearing God. And to me, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge, right? And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I think they had a sense of that. And you know, that's more precious. Think about this too. What they know now is more precious than all them goods they threw overboard. The knowledge that they had about the Lord, Jonah's God, I think, is more precious than everything they got thrown overboard. That's a thought, okay? But anyway, it says in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's a lot here. So this fish here, evidently it just didn't happen to be there. It sounds like me, the Lord prepared it. How far back did he prepare it? I don't know. Probably since the beginning of the world, I guess. I mean, think about it. That fish had to be in the right spot at the right time, you know. So where had that fish been going before that? I don't know. But some kind of, you know, he's moseying around here and there, whatever. But the Lord's got him at the right spot at the right time. He's just big enough to swallow Jonah. Everything about that fish is just right to swallow Jonah. And it says here, the Lord prepared a great fish. He's the one that did it to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Of course, we know that point. Remember, Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish or the whale. I think it says whale back there, but it's whatever. Fish 3 days and three nights. So the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And we know that, okay? Then Jonah, chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now I have some thoughts on this. You might not agree with me, I don't know. I know that Jonah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in some ways, okay? Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ never did disobey the Lord like Jonah did. But as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so you know, and so in typology, that's a type of Christ being in the grave, etc. But I also see Jonah as a type of the sinner that comes under conviction and that's saved. And I think if you look through these next verses, think about the sinner who finds himself in this situation and finally cries out, salvation is of the Lord. And that's what Jonah does here, doesn't he? He says, he gets down here and he says, salvation is of the Lord. You know why? Ain't no way else out of this predicament. Anyway, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Why is he crying out to the Lord? The reason of mine affliction. Okay. Unto the Lord. He says, by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice. Now hell, grave or whatever, but still, he's in a bad situation, isn't he? I mean, does he know that the Lord's going to vomit him up? I don't think he knows anything about any of that. He just said, look, I'm worthy of death. I disobeyed the Lord. Throw me overboard. Let me die. And the sea will end. The tempest will end. I probably all he knew about it. He didn't know he was going to get swallowed by this whale. The Lord prepared a fish for him. Anyway, he's in this belly of this fish. I don't know if he died for a while. Brother Jerry thinks he died. And that the Lord resurrected him or brought him to life. And that would be a good type of a sinner. The sinner's dead, right? And he's quickened, and he he's under conviction and all of that, and the gospel delivers him and all that. Okay, but let's look at it that way, maybe. Anyway, he says, "And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Thy billows and thy waves passed over me. He's in trouble, isn't he? "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight." Can you imagine the sinner that's under conviction that says, the Lord's going to, I can remember being under conviction. I thought, well, if the Lord sends me to hell, I'm cast out of his sight forever. I'm cast out of his sight forever. That's an awful long time. "Then said I, I'm cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." You can see repentance here, can't you? "The waters compass me about, even to the soul." He's troubled all the way down to the soul, isn't he? "The depth closeth me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." Man, you talking about shut up. He shut up, isn't he? Notice that. "Even to the soul, the depth closed me round about." Closed me round about. "The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever." Man, he's even saying this forever. In other words, he don't see any way out of this. Or it's not they're wrapped around me until I can dig out of here. Or they're wrapped around me until I can, I got my knife and I'll rip this fish's guts up, and then they won't. No, that's not it. Huh? Forever. Forever. "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord. I think if he's ever getting out of here, he knows it'll be by the Lord's hand. I mean, he's got a repentant attitude to me. He's talking about, looking toward the Lord and all of that. But he's saying, man, salvation's of the Lord. "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." He was delivered, wasn't he? Out of that fish's belly. That's a heck of a deliverance, right? I would think. Can you imagine that? Being in the fish's belly? No way out? Man, that must have been awful. I can't imagine what that would be. It'd be like being locked in a coffin or something, How would you ever get out of that? And yet the Lord delivered. The Lord vomited Jonah. You know what? And he didn't vomit him. He vomited him at the right time too, didn't he? He let Jonah stay in that belly just the right amount of time. He vomited Jonah at the right time. And the sinner that's delivered, he's delivered at the right time. Sometimes we think it ought to be sooner or whatever, but if he'd have vomited him sooner, he'd have been out of sea. think about it. But anyway, it says the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The dry land. So it wasn't out at sea. He vomited him up on the dry land. "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Did the Lord change his message? Said the same thing, didn't he? Second time, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. The first time. In other words, Jonah, remember what I told you back over there? Go do it. And he did, didn't he? I think the Lord was able to get Jonah to go. It seems that way. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. Now, notice it was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That didn't mean it was 3 days' journey away. What it's talking about is such a large city, it was 3 days to journey across it. Is the idea. I don't know how far away it was. Well, you could look it up. But still, what he's saying here was such a large city that it was 3 days' journey to go across this city. Is the idea here, okay? And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. See, it was 3 days' journey to cross it. He's gone a day into it. See, he's gone deep into this city. Okay? And a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So he's telling them. He's telling them what the Lord told him to tell them. Cry unto it, their wickedness and all that. I'm going to destroy it. They don't repent. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed him. They believed Jonah's preaching. And proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. So even the king believed what Jonah said, right? And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. So the king made a proclamation. Let's repent. Can you imagine that if the president of the United States would get up and say something like that? Our nation needs to repent. We need to put off this abortion stuff and all this other stuff, you know. Wouldn't that be something? It would be something. But that's what he did, didn't he? And these are Gentiles, by the way, you know. Jonah's a Jew. And I think that's his problem here, too, somewhat, I guess. Anyway, so the king says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? So, you know, Jonah said, hey, 40 days, Lord can destroy you. And so they were, man, they're asking for forgiveness and repenting, and maybe the Lord won't destroy us if we'll turn away from our wickedness. That's what he means by repent, you know. The Lord doesn't repent, we know that, but you see a lot of instances where he says, I repented of this or whatever, and look what he says in the next verse. And God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So what does that mean? Well, he warned them that they were committing evil deeds, and he was going to destroy them for their evil. Now, if they repent, he won't do it. And that's what that means. I don't know how you could. It's humanly speaking. God does not change. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, for he is not a man that he should repent. So the idea is God doesn't change. And, you know, man, I really wanted. I was going to destroy him, but guess I won't now. No, that's not. It's not that. He's given them a warning that if they don't repent, he's going to destroy it. And when they, you know, you see that all over the Bible like that. You can Jeremiah 18. I had 7-10. We can go read that. Well, I don't know. You can go read it later. But anyway, it's a similar thing where the Lord repented of the evil that he was going to do against them because they repented. Okay. Anyway, so he did. But look at verse 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Why? You think, why? That seems strange. After God had mercy on him, in that fish's belly that he would be angry that God had mercy on these Ninevites. Seems kind of strange, you know. But remember in 1 Thessalonians 2:16, where the Jews, Paul, I think it was Paul, Paul was writing, he said, they forbidding us to speak unto the Gentiles that they might be saved. For some reason, those Jews didn't appear that they wanted to see Gentiles saved. That's what I kind of get out of that. You know, I don't know. His own countrymen would not listen to God, but these Gentiles did. So I'm thinking Jonah is thinking, man, my own countrymen are in rebellion and these Gentiles are repenting. I don't like it, you know. I'm kind of thinking that's what he's maybe thinking. That's too much for him to bear, that these Gentiles are repenting and God's having mercy on Gentiles. Aren't we the chosen people of God? You know? Look at Romans. I tell you what, look at Romans chapter 10 for a second. I don't know, maybe this is kind of similar. Or Romans chapter 10, verse 19. See what you think. If any got you guys got any thoughts, raise your hand. Romans 10. What I said, 19? Yeah. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, well, I will anger you? That's strange, isn't it? But Elias is very bold. He saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am an Israelite, all of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer unto God unto him, I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace then there is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it, I'm trying to get down to a further verse down here. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, and eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they might see, and bow down their head backward. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Notice that. Why would that provoke them to jealousy? I think that's what Jonah's problem is. He don't like them Gentiles being saved. Evidently. Now, how can we relate to that? I'm trying to figure out how. You know, I'm a Gentile, so I can't relate to that well. But think about this. When you go witness to people, are you as eager to witness to a black man as you are a white man? We should be, huh? Should make a bit of difference. You know, or we are. What if, you know, in our country right now, it seems like hardly anybody believes grace anymore, right? But what would happen? You wouldn't be jealous. You wouldn't be angry if all of a sudden the Lord started working in the black community and all of a sudden they all started believing sovereign grace, would you? And yet all the white people don't. It wouldn't make you angry, would it? I don't think it should. It shouldn't. It won't make me. Look, I long to see anybody believe it. You know, if it's a bunch of black people start believing sovereign grace, I'm all for it. We'll go there and we'll worship with them. You know. But evidently Jonah had a problem, didn't he? It seems to me it made him angry. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, Was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I knew you were gracious and you had mercy on them Ninevites. Kind of what he's saying here, isn't he? I don't know. You know, it's kind of... Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You know, he's thinking, you know, I don't know what he's saying there. I guess I can't live with myself. I hate it that you saved the Nineveh, or you spared the Ninevites. I'd rather you seen rain hellfire down on them, and they would have never repented. That's what he really wanted. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? That's a question there. What? Are you angry because I had mercy? Are you angry because they repented and I had mercy on them? Why? Why? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and he sat in it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. So he goes out the city, and I'm not sure what he was waiting to see. Maybe he's waiting to see God to judge him eventually or something. I don't know what he was waiting to see, but anyway, that's what he did. And the Lord God prepared a gourd. Now, from what I understand, it's a tree or something that shadowed him and made it to come up over Jonah. So he went out there and made a booth, and a booth is just like a little old hutch or something that you make out of twigs and something that, you know, I guess like a little shelter, you know. If you were out in the woods, you might make your booth, make you a little shelter out of some stuff, you know, and that's what it seems he did. But anyway, the Lord, and you know, I guess this is where Assyria would probably be out kind of in the desert or something, I guess. I don't think it should be in the middle of the forest. But anyway, and the Lord God prepared a gourd, which is a tree, small tree, and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head. So I'm thinking, you know, to shadow him from the heat of the sun, right? To deliver him from his grief. So he's sitting out there just pouting, I guess, because the Lord had mercy on Nineveh. He's out there pouting, wish he was dead. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. The Lord gave him a tree, and I guess he's exceedingly glad for that. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and smote the gourd that would wither. So he gave him a gourd, then he took it away. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. Now I'm thinking of east wind. That's not... west wind would be out of the Mediterranean, right? East wind would probably be out of the desert, I guess. So that's probably a dry, hot, awful wind. And the sun beat upon his head, the head. So this wind, I mean, he ain't got a cloud in the sky. It's hot, dry, and the sun is beating on his head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished him in himself to die, and said, it'd been better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death, Jonah says. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. You all upset about the gourd? You didn't have nothing to do with putting it there or anything like that? He says, and should not I spare Nineveh? This is just a plant. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons? People? You know, well, shouldn't that be our desire to see people saved? You know, I mean, all those lost people that are perishing, they're people. They really are, aren't they? They're people. They're people, like us. We're no different. We'd be the same thing, in the same boat, if it wouldn't be for the grace of God. 1,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. You know, isn't that the problem with people? They're just ignorant. And also much cattle. I mean, that's a lot different than a gourd, huh? And Jonah's worried about a gourd. Sorry for a gourd. And he doesn't have compassion for Nineveh, it seems like to me. I don't know. Anybody else? That's all I got. I mean, we went through it pretty quick. Brother Joey, you got any thoughts? Not really, huh?
Journey.
Yeah.
For 3 days, why? I don't think he stopped the third of the way through. I think he was walking twice as fast.
You think?
It took him 1 day to get a day and a half into
the city. Okay, I see what you're saying. In other words, you think he's in the middle of the city, not just a third of the way.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
He was that angry.
You think he's in there angry, though? Yeah, he is in there angry. Yeah, he's mad. That's something, huh? I don't know what that tells us, you know.
That God works in spite of us.
Yeah, he does, didn't he? In spite of Jonah, he had mercy. In spite of Jonah, he had mercy on that city, didn't he? And the thing too is he got Jonah to do what he wanted Jonah to do when Jonah didn't want to do it. Jonah didn't limit God and force him to get somebody else. I think that says a lot. I mean, I know God may want us to do, or, you know, tell us to do something we don't. But I think in His eternal purpose, if He wants us to do it, He'll get us to do it. Might have to be the hard way. Might have to learn it by the hard way, you know. And I think Jonah, what my dad used to tell me, you know, he used to say you can learn things two ways. You know, the easy way or the hard way. So anyway, Jonah went, though, didn't he? Brother Charlie, you got any ideas?
I was just thinking, you know, that he's back there where Jonah was in the whale. So you know he was there 3 days and 3 nights. He said that he didn't see corruption, which means that he possibly did die. Did get brought back to life. Like you said, he was vomited up right outside the city instead of whale here or whale beyond.
Yeah. Right place.
So he was in the right place, but we all are sometimes like Jonah, as you mentioned, black folks, Chinese folks. If there was a great awakening of Muslims get saved in America all of a sudden, migrate, we would all sit here and say, huh?
Yeah.
We would.
Yeah.
And we'd say, those are our enemies.
Yeah, our enemies.
Those are our, you're about sworn
that's
enemies.
That's good, yeah.
And we know that later Nineveh, that group did.
Yeah.
Later Nineveh came back and took over Jerusalem and back the
wall. And I think in Zechariah, you said he was going to destroy it too.
Right. But the thing is, as much as we know we should preach the grace of God, sometimes we're afraid that we preach it too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we are.
Because.
And shame on us, huh?
Shame on us because we're saying, why would God save this bunch? And my bunch over here is not saved.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
On the other hand, God is merciful. And we should be merciful also. I read in James, if I get to that this week maybe, that for us, if we show mercy, God judges us with mercy. But for those of us who show no mercy, we get shown no mercy. That's what that's up to us, swallow. We have to do our work with mercy or not with anger or whatever.
Yeah.
Because however how we do our sin or platinum or whatever, we get judged the same way back. That's scary. To me. Because I know how I am. Sometimes I'm angry and fall off the handle, stuff like that. And I'm sitting here on the days that I'm angry and fall off the handle. I'm not being merciful. Is there a little book where God's keeping a little checker for you there? So on the day that I have to have mercy, he says, not today, but you have strength for yourself.
I've caught myself too in the past deciding who I want to give a tract to
and not.
You know, and why? Because I think, I don't want them. You know, it's just human, just stupid, fallen human nature.
You know, and you look at somebody out there and they got tattoos all over and they're filthy every fucking day. You don't want him. What happened to the Lord say to him? Huh? Yeah, that's wrong. Wrong. So anyway.
All right, Brother Joe, you want to lead some word prayer? Thinking we could put some
directional
lead, a couple of lead ones up there.
Lead,
LED. Yeah.
If you want
to. Yeah.
Actually,
getting
bright.
Yeah.
Would the ceiling strong enough to hold?
Oh,
not the lead.
Lead. Not LED. Oh.
I didn't realize you put them in there. Hey, Lucian, why don't you put one lead and one nickel?